Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break in the Mornings here at the top of the morning, 6:40 a.m. This is a podcast of three Hollywood professionals. I have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. Let's check in with our traffic and weather. My name is Freddie Wong, and Will's over there in Chopper 9.
Hey, I'm DJ Howlin' Will. Welcome to Willie and the Dingo Boys. Yeah, we're gonna be playing classic Zep hits all morning long to start your weekday, right? Watch out for that traffic on the I-405. Looks like it's getting pretty jammed up going northbound. You're gonna want to take Sepulveda Boulevard or La Cienega if you're heading that way.
What else is new, my man? Let's check in with Matt with the weather.
Hey, everybody, this is Sonny Arnold over here, and it looks like it's all rain. It's rain. It's going to be rain all day.
Oh,
man.
Is it really? Is it going to rain today?
No. It's going to be sunny all day, baby.
It's sunny Los Angeles, home of Big Willie and the Dingo Boys.
Dingo Boys.
It's going to be 95 degrees all day, starting in about 4 minutes. So let's get this going while it's nice and cool.
Let's get this going while...
As you might have heard, we're recording at 6:40 in the morning today to get this one out before my day gig starts, before I start working for the man.
Before you put in your hours for the man.
We're early enough that my child is still asleep and will probably appear in this podcast at any moment.
Whose hilarious joke will make Matt laugh hard enough to wake up his infant daughter? That's the question on today's episode of Story Break. I think it's the earliest we've ever recorded an episode of the podcast, guys.
Yeah.
This is up there.
Yeah. No, it is because we had to like, you know, commute somewhere.
Yeah.
None of us were getting up early enough to commute anywhere.
Yeah, we probably got up at 6:30, but then, you know, we got to Freddy's at like 7:30 and got some coffee and then hung out.
Bullshit around till noon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And record at 1. Be like, oh shit, we gotta figure out what to do and then record at 1. All right, enough banter, because I've got hard out in 1 hour and 15 minutes. So today, on the break, Big Willie and the Dingo Boys have a humdinger for you. I was scrolling around on a website called Twitter.com.
Wow.
And I found a tweet that made me go, hey, this would be a nifty episode. So this comes to us. She did not submit this to us. She had a tweet that went super viral because it was very funny. And now we're going to sort of like just swoop in there like that secondary ecosystem of content creators and reply guys who respond to the original tweet with like their own unfunny joke. We're kind of doing that today.
We're Hollywood professionals. That's what we do.
We're doing it up that style. As Hollywood professionals, it's our job to take original ideas and turn them into mediocre films. So this is the tweet. It was by Cathedrals at Catherine with a Y-N-I-V-I-V-E with two Ys on Twitter. So we'll slam that retweet button on this one. You know it. And the tweet is this. Why is the chosen one always a teenager? We're really going to put the fate of the universe on someone with an undeveloped prefrontal cortex? Give me a story with a chosen one who's a 42-year-old mom that has already seen some shit and is totally out of fucks to give. I got to shake off this morning zoo crew voice or it's going to be a long episode. So that's the premise, gentlemen. We're doing the chosen mom today.
Now, before we get into the chosen mom or the chosen one, I just want to just say that you could always do, as just a side break, we could always do the Joseon one, as in the Korean dynasty that lasted 5 centuries and had a substantial legacy on modern Korea, including much of modern culture, etiquette, norms, and societal attitudes towards current issues. The Joseon one.
The Joseon mom? Is it a Korean mom from that dynasty? Like, it feels like that's a pretty wide target if it's 5,000 years. So.
It's true. No, I'm kidding. It's a little morning pun to get y'all going.
You know what? I am sick of those stories set in the Joseon dynasty about a radical teenager who is going to fulfill a prophecy.
Okay, chosen mom, 42 years old, with no fucks to give.
You know, sick little Douglas Adams reference there, 42-year-old mom, am I right?
Oh,
maybe
nice.
She knows what the answer to the question, life, the universe, and everything is. Maybe this mom is a hoopy fruit who really knows where her towel's at. Am I right?
I mean, she's got the answer of how to get that viral tweet going.
Yeah,
she knows how to layer it.
You don't need the Babel fish to understand why this one went viral. Am I right?
All right, so here's the question. What is the chosen scenario? Is it space aliens? Is it goofy space aliens? Are we finally going back to our bread and butter, our fucking trade of goofy ass aliens?
Some wacky aliens.
There's no chosen. Are there chosen one stories with space aliens?
Yeah,
probably.
Probably.
Maybe a little movie called Star Wars, man.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair
owned
enough.
So hard, fucking ladies and gentlemen. Clip that.
Brutal. Hey, this is Matt Twitch Arnold. Chat. Time of death, 6:47 a.m.
Well, everybody, it's been nice knowing you all. I'm going to go read the paper. Oh, sorry, you said goofy aliens, not cool, serious, canonical, badass galaxy
Greedo,
of
the
aliens.
The coolest badass alien. Jabba the Hutt, the coolest badass alien.
Okay, okay.
Salacious Crumb.
Okay, well, my broader point was not in our wheelhouse of goofy-ass be helping.
This is like one of those ones where I feel like there's a lot of movie things that people complain about that like aren't much of a thing anymore.
Yeah.
When people are like, I hate movie trailer voice where the guy says in a world.
Yeah,
like, I haven't seen an in a world trailer in about 25 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So like
that Dom Fontaine ain't making any money anymore.
I mean, the reason the Chosen One thing is with kids usually is because one, they're usually kid stories.
Yes.
And two is because it taps into the idea as a kid where you're developing yourself and you're kind of understanding who you are.
Yes.
The idea that there is something out there, that you are meant for something, is very it's very exciting. Yeah. It's something you can latch on to.
I think a Chosen One mom story is like basically a midlife crisis, right? That is like, you know, lady, you got some bullshit thrown at you. It's time to remake yourself. It's time to just embrace the fact that you're
Well, exactly. I think the midlife crisis, or I mean, I don't know if it's so much like a demand, like, hey, what the hell have you been doing? Like, you're the chosen one, as much as like maybe that midlife crisis of feeling like, you know, is this really what my life is?
Right.
Like, wasn't I meant for something? And then it's like, oh, yeah, your chosen one letter was lost in the mail.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
You were supposed to go to Hogwarts 25 years ago.
Okay, guys, it's Rodney Dangerfield's back to school, but it's Melissa McCarthy going to Hogwarts.
Okay, so Wizards.
Am I right?
Wizards, Teen Wizards.
That's a bop, right?
Yeah.
But as you make it, College Wizards. So it's Melissa McCartney goes to horny College Wizards school. Like, imagine that poster where it's like, it's her in front of Hogwarts, but she's dipping her shades down like, I'm going to get in trouble. Like, that could be fun. I'm also going to throw out...
College Wizards sounds like the worst place in the world to go.
Really quick. That is a movie. It's called Life of the Party. Melissa McCarthy did a movie where she goes back to school, which is literally based on Rodney Dangerfield's Back to School. This was back in 2018.
Oh, cool. So she's a wizard in that movie, you're saying?
Yeah, so I'm saying it's Life of the Party, except she's a fucking soul-rending warlock.
All right, I will throw an idea at you guys that this actually, I didn't even think about this, but this kind of fits the bill, and it's one I've had in my back pocket for about 15 years.
Oh,
this
damn.
Is a Will Campos classic I'm pulling out of the drawer. But I always thought it would be fun to do. This was right around when King of Kong came out, so this is how old this idea is. I always thought it would be fun to do a sort of Last Starfighter spoof, but it was like Billy Mitchell and Steve Wiebe from King of Kong. But the joke is that like the aliens sent like the video game recruiting machine in the 1980s, but like their intergalactic war they were preparing for didn't happen until 2020. So basically, they like these two kids were fucking whiz kids at this arcade game, and then now they're the only two guys left who play it. But like, that's so then, and fucking... now they need them to save this interstellar war, but it's like these two, you know, losers in their 40s that have to play the game instead of these two radical kids in the 80s, because they're the only two people who still play the video game.
That's a very fun idea.
That's kind of fun, because the idea would be like, you see this machine and they're getting prepared to it, like, you know, like the Glibglor aliens are like, we must, you know, we need a thing, and you have sort of the two rivals, right, from across town. And, you know, they hit the high scores or they tie or whatever, and then they're waiting in the field for, like, the aliens to come pick them up. But then it just never happens, and they move on with their lives.
Not to be wet blanket, but just to hit on what the Chosen One thing is. Because, I think we have to... The tweet doesn't give us much outside of Chosen One and 42-year-old mom. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be somebody who was the Chosen One when they were a kid and then, you know, didn't essentially get to satisfy that, you know, the training that they had, and then 20 years later like has to come back to
that. Feels like an adult story about reclaiming your youth in a weird way, right?
I see.
The Chosen One is like some mythical force, whether it's a school of wizards or destiny itself, or, you know, a tribe of warriors or whatever it is, or just like the stars itself, comes down and says, you are meant to save the world, right? That's the Chosen One story.
No, I think you're right that to embrace this concept, it can't be that, like, she was the Chosen One when she was a kid and never found out about it.
Yeah.
This is like the universe saying, hey, middle-aged moms, you have value and are important and are going to save the universe.
And also, you are probably better fit for the responsibility of all of this. And
we don't need teens with Tude. we need a 42-year-old mom who knows what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But this, like, so that's the problem. Okay, but like a chosen one also is important that they're not fully developed. Like that's the whole point of. Though I guess the point of the tweet is you want somebody to develop, but then that gets into the point. I guess it's like James Bond, where it's like, you know, James Bond can do the job. And then the thrill is not whether or not he can do it. You just want to watch him do
it. Yeah, you know that she got this handled. But then the question is, where does the conflict come from? It's a real One Punch Man's dilemma.
Are you proposing One Punch Mom? Is that
One Punch Mom?
One Punch Mom. Oh,
shit.
That's not bad.
She's just a hard-assed fucking specialist. She's just like, God damn it, I'm going to fucking take care of this, and then I'm going to fucking just fucking be in charge of my family when I get
home.
But
to elaborate on what I call the One Punch Man dilemma, which is One Punch Man is this anime about this guy who is, you know, an unstoppable superhero. He defeats everyone in a single punch. And the show goes out of its way to be like, ooh, but what about this person? Maybe he can't. But then the show's like, no, no, no. Again, he is One Punch Man. He's able to defeat everybody in a single punch.
This is what drives me nuts about people saying you can't do a Superman story because he's too overpowered. Like, fucking One Punch Man figured it out. Get the One Punch guys to do a Superman movie. It's not
hard. But then, like, let's dig into it. The reason why it works is it's more about this person as a character and how the world reacts to them, right? It's like, it's one of those, Matt, and you guys have talked about this, where it's like, you can have a movie about where, you know, someone is changed by the world, or you can have a movie about where someone is X and the world has to change around them. And this is kind of what One Punch Man is. Now, also a big part of it is they have a character who is not, you know, an invincible god, essentially, and is trying to keep up, and it's training under him. And that's secretly kind of like where a lot of the thrust of the plot of One Punch Man comes from.
Yes.
Is this like sort of sidekick who is not as good as him and sort of in his shadow and in awe of this guy's abilities. But anyway, the One Punch Man dilemma.
All right. So I feel like the pitch from this tweet, like, this is a capital M mom we're dealing with. This isn't like, you know, a flaky, like a classic charming Hollywood flaky fuck up main character where they're, be in real life a toxic human being. But because Paul Rudd plays them, you go, oh, jeepers, give this guy a break. Right.
Like, yeah, she's got a kid like going to college and another one like in sophomore year of high school. Right.
Yeah. It's and they're fine and they're well adjusted. There's no issues with them whatsoever. She got all her shit together. It's that's not the
problem. I mean, she can have some issues.
I mean, she got to have issues. But like
but I'm saying a capital M mom, though, like the issues are not from, oh, no, she can't keep it together as a mom. It's like, no.
Oh, also, there should totally be just like a very dweeby, just like delightful dad character.
Oh, her sidekick is dad. Yeah.
Yeah, her sidekick is dad. Who just stays at home and is on the phone and like,
he's got to take the kids for the week. It's the classic. He's got to look after the kids for the weekend while she's saving the world. And then
who's the man in the chopper in all the Mission Impossibles? He does nothing but flies around the chopper on the headset.
Are you referring instead to Speed Racer and Trixie?
Mission Impossible 2.
Ving
Rhames.
This is how deep a Mission Impossible 2 fan I am, is that I was like, the guy who flies the helicopter is the wacky Australian guy who's only Mission Impossible 2.
That's right.
You're right. That's the one that Ving Rhames not in it.
No,
right?
Ving Rhames is in that
one.
Because remember, they shoot two bullets into his Armani jacket.
Oh, you're right.
Keep up, Matt Arnold.
That's giving him all the character conflict you need for an entire movie.
It's early. I don't remember Mission Impossible 2 or that Star Wars had aliens in it. Okay. So, yes. So, what is she chosen for?
Yes.
We got to just create an entire world like Star Wars.
We feel like we want to do an actual chosen one story, which means about 10 minutes in, she's going to get her Euro Wizard Harry moment, right?
Yes.
And then she's going to have to deal with that. And then she's going to probably want to not deal with that because she's like, look, I'm a mom. Give me a break. I can't do all that. I got stuff I got to do. And they're like, but the world needs you to do this stuff. And then she's like, all right.
She could be like, can't you find some plucky teen to do this? And they're like, we've killed 14 plucky teens who've died horribly doing this.
You know, what's actually would be a very funny twist is that the opening is you think that it's going to be her kid who is the chosen one. And then
it turns
out
instead.
It's like, I feel like the sidekick is her kid who is very frustrated that they are not the chosen one.
The kid who is like just slammed down Harry Potter and Divergent and like all the fucking adult novels.
And you literally, the first 5 minutes is like the mom's in the background, but like you're like on this teen who has like a mysterious symbol on their arm.
That's a birthmark, honey.
Ever since your dad died, blah, blah, blah. But then they run downstairs and then like the toaster strudel pops out and mom hands them the plate and they're like, thanks mom, and then they go and you're like, oh, I guess that's just this kid's mom and they're the chosen one. And then then Hagrid shows up at their doorstep and is like, we need you for wizard school. And then we rack around and we see that the finger is not pointing at the kid, it's pointing at the mom. And then all three kids look at each other and go, mom? And then dad faints and mom goes, I'm gonna need a shot of Jack Daniels.
That's very fun.
And then that's the trailer.
I definitely like the fake out. Okay.
The fake out is really fun, yes.
I do kind of like it being wizard school.
Wizard school? Yeah, let's go with wizard school, man.
Okay, well, if we do... I feel like everybody's done wizard school. Okay, we can do wizard school, but you need...
That's a wild sentence for past Freddy to hear.
You need Voldemort. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's
It's
true.
Like, you need what's the... Oh, no, you can do wizard school. You just need what is the...
Who's the anti-mom?
Yeah, what's the thing that they are fighting against? Again, why are they chosen to do what? Which, by the way, it makes me realize, like, everybody talks about Star... Like, they're like Luke Skywalker, but, like, he's not really the chosen one until...
Yeah, he is at the beginning of the movie. He's like, it's his dad, it's Darth Vader. Oh, he's the chosen one.
No, no, but you don't know his dad is Darth Vader. He's just a kid on a farm, and he purposely wants to go and join the war. There's
Yes, but he has this father who was a Jedi Knight. He's sensitive to the Force. He uses the Force to blow up the Death Star. Do I need to draw you a map, Matt?
It's not like Obi-Wan Kenobi's like, you need to,
help.
The
chosen one story that is explicitly chosen one is Anakin Skywalker.
Yes, Anakin Skywalker's a chosen one story. It's like, hey... This kid's going to balance the Force. Luke Skywalker puts his fate in his own hands. He's like, I want to join the war. And like, your dad was a war.
No, and also, don't forget that they cut the scene where Obi-Wan goes like, you killed space rats with your spaceship. You can blow up the Death Star. And like, I guess that's why he can do it. I didn't really watch that movie.
Okay.
I have a confession to make. I've never seen Star Wars. I've been faking it the entire time.
That would be incredible. So like, yeah, what's the problem that... It's like a wizard comes down and says, there's a problem. 42% of this nation believes in a horrible wizard.
Okay,
need your help.
I want to die. An evil wizard has 42% of the nation under this magical spell called fake news, and we need you to tweet so hard that you get a blue check mark, and everyone retweets you, and then they see the truth.
With the power of your...
But wait, I don't get... That's not a problem. 42%, that's not a majority. Well, you don't understand in the wizarding world.
But he's also cast a curse called the Electoral College.
You must wield the power of the blue checkmark. With this checkmark, they will listen to you. The people will look up to you.
First, you must consult the three wise oracles. John Favreau, Tommy Vitor, and John Lovett.
You must take out the Jerry Man. The Jerry Man is the most dangerous
man. The gerrymander is like a giant salamander wreaks havoc on zoning laws.
Okay.
God.
Liberal wine mom, chosen one.
No, what? Let's just be honest. Conservative fantasies are a lot more fun than liberal fantasies. That's why we can do shark hop and trucks. Okay.
Yeah, Batman is a conservative fantasy.
There's demons actually in the world or some shit.
Demons. You got demons.
Or it's a Hunger Games scenario, right? Nominate someone to represent your district style for the televised.
That's not a chosen one story. That's not like you were supposed to fulfill a prophecy and save the world.
It's Buffy. It is
like Buffy
is
the chosen one. Right?
It is going to be there is somebody who shows up and points at her and says, you are the chosen one. We need you to restore balance.
Or she pulls the sword from the stone. Right? Like, that's the other way you could do it. So you do, like, she pulls the piece of paper out of the printer at work.
Yes.
And IT Merlin is like, you.
That's pretty good.
You have the gift.
It's a spam email, and then for one, she does click on it, and it's like, oh, thank God, somebody finally, finally read this.
That's not a bad one. It's like, I've been using your systems on Earth to try and communicate with
I am a Vesperian prince in the Gallic system, and I need your help.
All right. Okay. So... It feels okay. Yes, you're right. We got to pick a theme for
this. Is this fantasy or sci-fi?
So what feels like a good mom energy for this mom to deal with? Aliens? Like, we could do that. It's a far off. She could be like, if you're going to do a chosen mom story, it could be that she doesn't realize that she's like alien royalty, right? Like, that could be one way you do it, right? Like, the
and I know what you're saying, but I also think, like, once the story begins, I don't think the movie or like what she's dealing with is like mom energy. I think she fucking puts her kids are already off to college or are there, and she just gets to fucking be furiosa and like throw down. You know, it's like, I don't want her to be defined.
No,
by, like,
I feel like she's got to have kids that she is currently raising. Like, I don't think you can do all of her kids are in college. Like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe. I guess, I don't know. I guess not. I guess that's not necessarily part
of it.
It
just feels like, especially if it's like, the Chosen One thing is like a fantasy for kids. I just feel like,
you're saying we want to do a fan. You want to make moms feel the way kids feel when they read King Arthur. That's
which is like,
for.
Oh, really? I got to be Luke Skywalker, but because I'm a mom, I got to take care of fucking R2-D2.
This book already exists. It's called 50 Shades of Grey, gentlemen.
That's true. 50 Shades of Grey is the Chosen Mom.
But like, to Matt's point, right? Like, after he's picked, he doesn't have to continue the deal with the Dursleys while he's at school.
I mean, he does have to continue to deal with being a fucking teenager.
But being a teenager is like tied up with the...
Yeah, but I'm not saying she's not gonna deal with mom stuff. I just don't think to the point, like, Voldemort is not like, you're gonna be a teen. Like, that's all I'm saying. I'm saying the actual story, I don't think you want to tackle her. Like, yes, I think it's going to be fun that as she's doing Chosen One stuff, she's like, you know, she gets a call and like her kid is taken to the principal's office and whatnot. I'm saying, though, I don't think this Chosen One aspect is like, you're the Chosen One because we need you to babysit 14-year-old demons.
No, absolutely not. No. Absolutely not.
Yeah. It's big fantasy world ending stuff as it normally is.
So, all right. She could be alien royalty. Like, let's say that she's like, she's space Anastasia, right? And she doesn't realize it. She's
okay,
she's an alien Romanov. And so her father and mother, the prince and princess, fled their planet when there was like a war going on and came to this funky little town of Earth to raise their daughter. And like, I like that we don't do that. It's an orphan thing. Like, we should definitely, she calls her parents and her parents are like living in Malibu and her dad was in Oingo Boingo or something like that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they're successful, but they're like, oh yeah, we never wanted to tell you. Cause like, you know, it was just not a part of our life.
Okay.
Anymore.
It's something. Yes. It's like they do this. I mean, there's a million stories like this and they do this in, I think, Game of Thrones too. She's like, right. It's the equivalent of like the bastard son that actually has the rightful claim to the throne.
Okay.
So there'd be like, yes, there was some great war and the bad aliens won. And now, you know, they essentially rule the galaxy and they are going to, you know, consume entire solar systems for whatever their nefarious.
Oh, this is easy. This is a layup. You do. She's got some dumb trinket from when she was a kid. That's like the fucking MacGuffin that's going to stop the evil plan. Right.
Yeah.
And so the aliens want it because it's the key to the rest of their thing. But they've got to hunt down the royal princess to get it. But the problem, gentlemen, is that she gave that stupid necklace away to her ex-boyfriend like 30 years ago. And he's got it. And then so now she and fucking alien Jon Snow, just this hot fucking alien 30-something man with a beard who looks like Aragorn. Is she and him got to go on a road trip across America while they're being hunted by aliens, and she's going to awaken her alien powers, and she's got to go find her loser ex-boyfriend. But maybe he's the one that she, you know, never got over or whatever. And then you got to get the thing, and then you got to fight up guys.
That's good. The idea that this token or whatever, it's probably like, you know, it's like the equivalent of like a royal seal, right? It's like the family heirloom. It like shows that you're a true Romanov.
But like Harry Potter isn't about him having to be like confront his, you know, like, I guess it's just tough because it's like a lot of the teen stuff. There is no past for them to confront. I just feel like it should just dive into alien shit. Like, it shouldn't be about, like, oh, it's the ex in the background, and you have to go back and, you know.
No, the Chosen One, you need to establish their life first, and then they're chosen.
But I'm saying the goal feels like it should be.
You're saying you don't want the goal to be the ex-boyfriend?
Yeah.
No, the goal is to save. I mean, I think.
The goal should
be. No, but again, hear me out, though, Freddie. Hear me out, though. We're doing it up mom style, right? Like, this is the pitch, is that this is a fantasy road trip movie where you and a fucking hot guy are going to hop into a car and burn rubber across the country and go on an adventure and fight aliens to, like, hook up with your old flame.
Well, it's just in a weird way, this is starting to sound, like, significantly closer now to Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, is this just the plot of Jupiter Ascending?
Well, yeah, it is pretty so. Okay, well, we can put a pin on the old flame or however specifically it goes. But I think the idea that she is the descendant of this, you know, of this whatever benevolent race of space aliens. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that can stop the evil empire of the Gorgons or whatever is she needs to declare her ascendancy to the throne and put a stop to it. And it's like, mm-hmm. nobody knows that she exists and she's the chosen one and she is kind and wise and, you know, has all these traits that all chosen one things have a weird element of, like, yes, you're inherently a wonderful person that needs to, like, fix everything. And yes, because then it becomes like a race, because I think you want to freaking get out of Earth, like, you want to fucking get some space opera shit.
That's fair.
I think eventually you're getting into a spaceship and she's got to get to, like, the crowning ceremony and prove herself or whatever.
Is this literally just Jupiter Ascending?
This is literal. Okay, let me just really quick, folks. Jupiter Ascending. The film is centered on Jupiter Jones, an ordinary cleaning woman, and Kane Wise, an interplanetary warrior who informs Jones that her destiny extends beyond Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she, like, space royalty? Is she
Is she space royalty? No, she's going to get married in, or something, in Jupiter
Ascending. I don't remember exactly what it is.
Yeah, and look, and Jupiter Ascending's got Channing Tatum in, like, space roller blades, and then there's a wedding at the end. Like, we don't have to do...
We could, if we want to steer clear of Jupiter Ascending, we could make it that she's got an old crusty Marlin that's showing her around at the beginning instead of a sexy man.
Yeah, she is galactic royalty. Yes, she is explicitly galactic royalty because she can control, like, weird bees in this one scene. And they're like, you can control the bees! That means...
I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a chosen one story, but it is galactic royalty.
All right, well, we can do... Here's what we do. Well, for one, she doesn't have to be, like, the queen. You could shoot... She's the daughter of, like, the queen's baddest warrior or something like that. All right, so we're talking about a MacGuffin chase movie where they gotta hop around the galaxy in a space Corvette and... Do what exactly? So, like,
by the way, I just to clarify, I'm reading through it, and yes, we literally just explained the plot of Jupiter Ascending. It's literally they, like, place a girl on a planet, and it's like, okay, you're gonna stay safe. Your name's Jupiter, and she's like, I don't even know. I'm space royalty, and
all
then
right.
Some people show up. They're like, you're space royalty. You need to stop this evil. I mean, they don't even do, like, the bad guys don't really have, like, a plan to, like, kill everything. They're just like, you need to get rid of this, like, horrible empire, like, because you're a good person. Like, go become the queen.
Well, we should take our commercial break. This is a great cliffhanger because we just discovered someone else already did the movie we're coming up with. So when we come back, 30 minutes to figure out what the film is.
And Dorothy just woke up, so I'm going to say hi to Dorothy.
Aww.
Commercial break. Hi, Dorothy.
Schmanners. Noun. Definition. Rules of etiquette designed not to judge others, but rather to guide ourselves through everyday social situations.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
Every week on Schmanners, we take a look at a topic that has to do with society or manners. We talk about the history of it. We take a look at how it applies to everyday life. And we take some of your questions. And sometimes we do a biography about a really cool person that had an impact on how we view etiquette. So join us every Friday and listen to Schmanners on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Manners, schmanners. Get it?
All right, so space royalty's out because it was the plot of another movie. Is there like can we do a prophecy, like an ancient prophecy,
like
one
a
of
King
those?
Arthur bend, is there maybe?
Is she the reincarnation of a space alien? Is she, you know, like that they think she's like the space Dalai Lama? You know, but like maybe this, you know, ancient badass warrior who returns once every, you know, 1,000 years when the universe is in great need.
That's not bad. Like if there's some, it's not this, but you know, there's always like the, oh, you can like flip a car over if your kid's trapped underneath it or something. And there's like some like space chancellor who's on planet Earth looking for the chosen one. And it's like if whoever can flip an iron chariot with their hands and on her, you know, and they're like, oh.
Well, what is it like?
Must be her.
Chosen one doesn't necessarily mean that, like, again, like that you were literally chosen at birth or by,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
some
in
by
that
your blood or whatever, right? Like, again, in A Green Lantern is a Chosen One story, and that's just that, like, the Lantern goes to seek someone without fear, and it finds Hal Jordan, who's this fearless fighter pilot, right? So, like, you could do some sort of MacGuffin comes to her, you know, for protection, right?
So sort of a reverse Terminator situation, whereas in Terminator, like, the Chosen One is this kid, but he doesn't know it yet, and it's going to happen in the future, so this robo hot man's got to protect him. A reverse version of that, where someone goes to her, and she's Arnold, and the Chosen One is, or right, or something like that? Maybe?
But that's not like, again, that's not you're the Chosen One. That's you're the protector of the important thing.
Oh, yeah, you're the protector of the Chosen
One. All right. Shit, this is getting tricky.
I'm going through a list here of, like, famous Chosen One things. Anakin and Luke Skywalker, Buffy, Harry Potter.
Maybe it's not Jupiter Ascending if we just make it more like fairy tale and demons. Oh, crap. I was literally that's Pan's Labyrinth.
She's driving her kids to a soccer game, and they get sucked into a medieval fantasy land and she has to go find them. Fuck. Why is this so hard? Okay. She's a mom.
Do we like the space royalty? Is the problem the specific?
Okay, hear me out. Mm-hmm. She's a mom, and I'm just, like, going for dumb mom stereotypes. She's in a book club, and she picks a book for book club, and then
50
everyone's
Shades
like,
of Grey.
Everyone's like, I don't get this book. Like, it didn't make any sense. It's just like, it made perfect sense to me. Like, I could follow the whole story. Told the story of this kingdom and blah, 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 blah. And then another mom drops her wine and turns around and her eyes are glowing and she's an old wizard now. And she says, you are the one who could read the book. And then she's just the woman who could read the book. And the book is the magic book that is the key to our adventure.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I feel like she's like a Wisconsin Midwest mom. And she's like, oh, cheese and crackers. Like, oh, you know, like, it's just, you know, it's a pretty nifty book, you know, and they've got to, like, go figure out what the book does.
Yes, there's like an ancient language that's hidden within our own words that, like, if you are whatever, a certain person could read it, right? You're essentially saying there's, like, code in that book that you wouldn't be able to read unless you were somebody. It's like an airbender or something where it's like, yes, there are certain people. This is like there's tests placed around the world to find them. And yes, there is like some sort of like demon slayer or whatever. If like somebody who's born with the ability to fight like pure evil. And yes, they've set up these various codes or whatever to find one. They haven't found one. There hasn't been one in 300 years or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that she's like, yeah, my favorite part of the book was when, like, you know, Michael the Archangel came down from heaven. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? That's not in the book. It's like, yeah, it's like right here or whatever it is.
All right.
She starts seeing weird symbols and stuff like in, you know, I don't know, like you're saying.
So she's like a demon hunter, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like that's like the, but not vampires. Or, like we're talking like, you know, ghoulie, like if you're going to go Christian mythology, like again, like the armies of hell have taken over the earth and no one realizes it.
Yeah.
And now she's got to go fight them.
Well, yeah.
All right. That's fun because it feels like then you can do it up mom style with like a lot of these like. But again, like, OK, all right. So she's got to like, you know, find and hunt like evil demons or
there's
something.
There's going to be a specific, right? Even the Buffy the Vampire of the first season is like they are opening whatever it is, the Hellmouth. Like it is, thank God they found the Chosen One now because, you know, whatever. I mean, Highlander, it's like also there's like something that's like it's going to be they're going to open the, I don't want to say Hellmouth, like they're going to unleash an angelic swarm or they're going to
angelic
consume
hordes.
Earth into, you know, or Earth's going to get sucked into a void, you know, any moment now.
Oh, okay. Hear me out. This is, I'm tripping on some weird 6 a.m. shit, but hear me out. These books. So let's say there are these like, okay, hear me out. There are these evil, hidden, demon, alien, whatever you want, what have yous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their Horcrux or whatever is their book. And there's like a secret word hidden in the book that like can destroy them. Right.
Okay.
So then like she reads the book at book club and then one of the moms just fucking spontaneously combusts. Right.
Oh,
and then everyone's like, what the fuck just happened? She's like, I don't know.
Spontaneous
and then you would
combustion.
Do, like,
I've heard about this.
You have your paranormal Mulder and Scully. You're like, holy shit, there hasn't been an explosioning in 300 years. Like, we have, like, one of the book readers is here. And so then they realize that this mom can read the cursed books of the Dark Ones or whatever, right? And so mm-hmm. now she's got to go, like, and they've infiltrated our society at every level, and they've got armies of the night. They're going to hunt her and assassinate her unless she destroys them, you know? So she's got to, like, clean up this dang town or whatever. And it's mm-hmm. her, and she's got to, like, get trained in the way of, like, the book. Or whatever, right? And or yes. something like that. Yeah. Is that a thing? Yeah, yeah. This feels like a TV show, by the way, because then what you would do is like we meet our bad guy, and like the mystery is like she's got to find their book, and the book could be a library book, it could be a Chinese takeout menu, it could be a yearbook. It's always something tied to the demon's past or whatever. And then like you know like the demon is like one episode again, it's the mom who runs the wine club. The next day, it's like a crooked politician. It can be this, that, or the other, right? And she's got this double life. As an everyday suburban mom, but also the chosen one who's stopping the world from getting taken over.
But we can do this like, you know, Buffy did a movie for. I mean, you can definitely stretch it out as a TV show.
Oh, yes. Okay,
but
so, yeah.
What I haven't seen before, because it's always done in science fiction movies, but in terms of, like, what the plot is, there could be, nobody's found it yet, but, like, there could be an asteroid about to hit Earth, and it's not like, oh, it's just an asteroid story. It's like, no, this is, like, a demonic horde that is going to collide into Earth. Like, they've been calling whoever the bad guys are on Earth have finally succeeded in, like, getting a cleansing fire is going to consume Earth in X amount of time or whatever.
In three moon cycles, they are going to use a summoning spell as a giant space magnet to pull a comet, the Morning Star comet,
that's going to pass
the
Earth,
and it's going to obliterate the Earth, and they will have and then by sacrificing the souls of the innocent on Earth, they'll gain immortality and become gods. Right?
Yes. There we go.
And she's like, not on my watch, Buster. My kids go to school here on this planet.
Okay.
All right. Now we're cooking. We got a stew going.
And is this some sort of like, this is like a war, kind of like this, going back to Assassin's Creed, like a Templar assassin war? Is this like some sort of battle between things that have been going on Earth for a while, or do you have like the Crusade Knight who's essentially
this is one of those, these fuckers have been here for centuries, right? And their plan is about to come to fruition. You know, like
there's
and
been
like,
other chosen ones. Joan of Arc was one back in the day.
And then you do that, like, you know, like all of the big disasters in mankind were like these mass sacrifices that led that, you know, where someone became a god. So like the Black Plague was them.
Yes.
Noah's Ark, the flooding.
No, their goal is always like, if you can kill a million souls, you can gain the power of a god or whatever, right? So the Black Plague, World War I, and then everyone got mad at the guy who started World War I, so then they started World War II, you know, and it's like that. So you do there's about to be a reckoning where like a new whatever is gonna do the thing. Okay.
And the bad guy is Mario Lopez, because like that guy's never aged, am I right? Does not look a day over 30.
I mean, Keanu Reeves.
Keanu is the bad guy. Kind of would be fun as a bad guy. Has he ever played a bad guy?
He would be fun.
He plays Denzel Washington's brother in Much Ado About Nothing.
That's right. And he's very fun in that. But I mean, like a mustache twirling bad guy.
Keanu Reeves as the bad guy is great because, like, he's also
mom bait.
I feel weird saying that, but like a little bit, right?
Yeah, no, he's hot.
Hot everybody bait, man.
Keanu Reeves is their yoga instructor, and then he's evil wizard.
Yes, he's the evil yoga instructor. That's very good. He's the evil, sexy yoga instructor. Okay, here's what I was going to say is I feel like the books are wizard spell books, and these are all evil wizards, and they can cast fucked up spells and all this shit. But every wizard spell book has a self-destruct spell in it. And if you can read the spell, and it's always hidden behind glyphs and curses and runes. And mom, she's pretty good at Sudoku and crosswords. Like, she's always going to think for puzzles, right? So she solved the riddle in the book, and it blew this guy up. So now it's like she's got to find the book, solve the riddle, stop the wizard, and save the world.
Oh, wait, so is there one specific book she has to find?
I think it's a per-wizard basis.
Yeah, on a per-wizard basis.
And it doesn't always have to be books.
For this story, it would be one specific wizard that she's trying to find, and it could be anyone because there's secret wizards everywhere, Matt. And it's this wizard who's going to call forth this comet to destroy the world and ascend to like ultra wizarddom or godhood or whatever, right? But then he's got minions, he's got fucking acolytes, he's got a whole underground network, or she, and she's pulling the strings, you know, like of people that they've promised immortality to when the comet comes. It's like one of those.
Okay, what's good is I would do that there is a wizard or whatever that's akin to Voldemort that is the current bad guy that the people who are fighting him...
They've been hunting him for years.
Yes, know that he's up to something, and they figured it out. They understand that this comet is part of his plan. So now there's a ticking clock.
Or that could be... I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that could be part of the movie, could be figuring
out. Yes, that's
the
term.
But they know that he's up to something and that it's going to happen in 3 months and he's going to murder...
Deaths have increased, you know. There's COVID. I mean, right? It's like the
world
is getting...
These are all start... He's just getting warmed up, you know?
Yes,
like
the world is getting worse and...
He's plotting something and all the star charts align that it's going to be something that happens, you know, 3 months from now. And then you have 3 months...
Well, I mean, I like... To your point, like, it's nice that they just, like, thank God we finally have a warrior that we need, you know, this battle we've been losing it for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then the turn that it's like... It's the stakes are like it's happening in a week. Like we thought, you know, we were just happy we finally have a warrior. But oh, my God, like the world's going to end in a week.
Yes, the world's going to end in a week. You got to shape up and become the chosen one who's going to, you know, like the prophesized puzzle master who is going to thwart the evil wizard.
I mean, right, it's the reveal of the Death Star.
Will Shortz is her Merlin. And you do that. It's puzzle masters are the sworn enemy of the wizards that are trying to attain power on the earth. And so she's going to be the new puzzle master.
I like that more than the book club. It's like people who do the crossword puzzles. Mm-hmm. Or something like they share, and like, yeah, she's like a puzzle.
She's
whiz.
In a crossword club. Yeah. And yes. Then so she solved an unsolvable crossword. And then when she says it out loud,
there was no 46 down. What are you talking about? It's like, yeah, like the extra one, like the diagonal one across the whole thing. It says this.
And then she says it, and then like someone explodes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
Okay.
And what's great about the test is you do like, that was a mere acolyte's puzzle. Right? Like,
yes,
that was
yes.
just his number two henchman, right? Like, we need to find the puzzle and solve the puzzle and destroy. This is good. This is cooking.
Okay.
And she's just, at the start of it, she's just an everyday, you know, mom who, you know, is into puzzles, right? And she's always doing, like, you know, Sudokus, and she's got crosswords, and she does, like, little riddles on her phone. And, but the one puzzle she can't figure out, guess what it is, guys? It's herself.
Herself. I mean, what's fun, it's, what you do is, like, I think the low point is they, like, find the puzzle or whatever. Because I think what's fun is, like, that, yes, the puzzles kind of serve as, like, in the chaotic world of life, you know, it's the same reason many of us play video games or read, right? It's escape. Like, it's something that makes sense. There's always an answer. You can figure it out. Mm-hmm. And she's good at it. So, like, yes, this is, like, a really relaxing, this is her mini painting or her magic for Freddy or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. This is her hobby. The idea that at the midpoint or the low point is, like, they find the puzzle, but I think the bad guys destroy it. Right, you need that thing where it's like, but look, you're the chosen one, not just because you can solve a puzzle. Like, you are our leader. Like, we can find another way to defeat the wizard or whatever. Because it's also not going to be like, it's not going to be super climactic that she just, like, reads a word and then blows them up or whatever. So I feel like the low point is, yes,
that's the real puzzle she solves. This gets me to the B story. So,
yes.
I've been thinking about
there's
it.
There's a
I
bee?
Think there's a bee.
There's a talking bee? A, oh, thank
get,
God.
Get this dang bee out of the house. I think the B story is that I think one of her kids is a puzzle that she can't figure out. I think she's got a moody teen who's got some stuff going on and she can't connect with her teenager. And again, she feels bad about the fact that she can't connect with her kids. So she throws herself into her puzzles when she feels bad. It's also a way for her to feel good. Right. So then the end of the movie is like, it's her and her teen and all her teen's friends who are going to go, like, she solves the puzzle of connecting, like, off the top of my head. She has a teenager who's like non-binary or something like that. Mm-hmm. She doesn't understand it and she's doing her best with it, but she can't connect with her kid because she feels like she's really struggling with this. Mm-hmm. She's not opening up about the fact that she's having a tough time with this and that she's not telling her kid, like, you know, don't worry, like, I still love you, like, all this stuff. She's just been very walled off about it or something like that.
It could even be an element of, like, again, small, because, like, honestly, my daughter's very, very young. Mm-hmm. But, like, I can say, like, I think there's even an element of, like, it's almost the fact that the kid's not, like, giving back to her. She's like, I don't get it. Like, I do all this stuff I'm supposed to, but, like, she still doesn't talk to me and whatnot. Right? There's going to be an element of, like, your kid's not a puzzle. Like, it's okay. Just be there. And they'll come to you at some point, right?
That's, like, interesting. And it's like, yeah, I like that. Because especially if you're going to do, like, it's like if she has a kid who's, like, just told her that they're non-binary. And, like, she's making a really good effort of, like, trying to be accepting and trying to be open. But, like,
she acts like it's a puzzle that needs to be.
Yeah, yes, like, I like
she's
that.
Acting like it's a puzzle.
Oh, her kid used to be part of the puzzle club. And it's like, now her kid doesn't hang out with her and she doesn't talk to her after school. And it's like, I don't get it. Like, what's going on? Like, you know, I'm missing this relationship.
Yeah. Okay. So then you do that. That's the emotional puzzle at the heart of the movie, right? Like, she drops off her kid. She goes to puzzle. Again, like, it's like her kid is not coming with her to puzzle club is like a nice start of the movie, I think, like as part of that misconnection. Yeah. And that's the puzzle club where she sets off the thing. And again, her kid is really good at puzzles. So she wants them to help her, like, you know, on this adventure. And it's like, can I coax you into this or whatever? But then, like, I like that the end of the movie is her and her kid. And she finally understands her kid's drama, which has nothing to do with her. Right? It has to do with like crush at school. It has to do with like a crush on a kid in the astronomy club. And now she and the astronomy, it's like, oh my God, the astronomy club, they can help us deflect. We're going to put a big mirror up to stop the comet or whatever. Right? And so like she solves the emotional puzzle with her child that then allows her to solve the movie puzzle of stopping the bad guy. And the real riddle is when she says, I love you. Or whatever. I mean, she probably says that all the time.
No, she says, I love you all the time. What I really like is, like, I like the inherently what you've done is the theme is also, it's like, oh, there's all this Chozo-1 bullshit, but then they lose the, like, sacred puzzle or whatever. Mm-hmm. At the end, it's like, listen to science. At the end, it's like her and the astronomer, they like reflect a mirror and they do like a science puzzle and they freaking solve the problem.
It's her kid. Like, she thinks it's all this stuff about, like, she's been reading child psychology books and she's like, you know, wrestling with like her kids exploring their gender and stuff like that. She's like, this must be the problem, right? Which is its own fucked up loaded assumption. But then the kid is just like, no, mom, I just think puzzles are dumb. Like, they don't have, you're solving problems that don't exist. Like, solve real world problems. Like, I want to solve, I want to go to space. That's a problem. You're like, I want to help the environment. That's a problem. Puzzles are meaningless, right? Like, that's the core thing. And it's like, oh my God, how could, you know, my kid
have that fun thing where the mom's like, oh, I mean, honey, you're so young. Like, literally, you know, it's not your responsibility to save the whole world. You can just have fun sometimes. Not everything has to be about the war or whatever it is. Anyways, okay, we'll talk about this later. Let's go save the world.
That's great.
Literally save the world.
So that's cool. I like that she then just accepts that her kid doesn't like puzzles anymore. And then they go save the world. And they blow up the wizard, and then the government guy's like, nice job, we've got another one. And then he shows him a picture of Donald Trump, the real evil wizard.
The comment, the final shot is like, yes, they do. They, what did he say, Freddie? Who said it? They reflect something against the mirror.
Just, I don't know. It's some fucking, they get a big mirror from the school because the school's mascot is the fighting mirror. So there's a giant statue of a mirror on the.
The mascot's a mirror.
Because, you know, yes, because the school's. No. Hear me out.
It's like the Time magazine cover. It's like the Time magazine cover that says, you're the best important person.
That is exactly it, because she sends her kid to like an artsy fartsy, like, you know, Montessori school or something like that. That's all about self actualization and empowerment. So we were like, our mascot is a mirror because you're our hero. And so then they've got to get the big dumb fucking mirror off the top of the school and reflect the evil beam to blast the guy back or whatever.
It's a basketball game, and then like the mirror's doing like a backflip, and you just hear a big shatter. They're like, all right, stop the game. We got to clear the glass off. God, every time, this is the worst mascot idea ever.
Everybody's just picking glass out of their feet. They're like, ow, fuck, again.
The mirror is a mascot. Okay, sure. The mirror is a mascot. Yes, they reflect the mirror. And then the final shot, I feel like they like shatter the comet, and then you get the classic, you know, it's like they're going to watch the meteor shower or whatever with everybody as they're like sitting on a hillside or whatever watching a meteor shower. They're like, we did it. And then, yes, then the government comes. CIA actually stands for Central
Cryptogram Investigation Agency.
God.
We're the CIA. They're like, oh, we didn't do anything.
No, but for real, No. The CIA has like a gigantic cryptogram at their headquarters that no one's ever been able to solve. That's your sequel right there.
Yes.
They're on a field trip to the CIA, her and her kid. And, you know, they're like, she's taking pictures and she's like, oh, gosh, look at this nice nift. Get a picture in front of this puzzle. And then she snaps a picture of them and then she's like, wait a second. There's a wizard at the CIA.
Force of the movie is less a field trip than a fucking terrifying chase across the country to get this to CIA.
Movie two, they find the deep state wizard at the CIA.
You know what the best part about the cryptogram in front of the CIA is?
What?
Mm-hmm. It's a work of art that's commissioned by an artist who's like still alive. Like the guy is out there and he's just like, I won't tell. It's not like some ancient thing where it's like, ooh, no one knows what this is. It's just like some random fucker was like, I put a puzzle in here using a computer and I made a code. It's like, all right, whatever.
If I did a National Treasure movie, it would be like, oh, it's like find the it would be something that's like, everyone's like, wait, that's wrong. They'd be like, Have you noticed, Nick Cage, that there's 50 stars on the flag, but there's only 49 states? Like, what? And then that's the movie. That's out of place. And it was like, wait. And the whole time, I was like, but there are 50 states.
That would be incredible if you just do, like, you just gaslight the audience. And then everyone in the movie is like, no, there's 50 states. And it's like, yeah, name them. And then they name all the states, but there's only 49. And they're like, 49. Oh,
shit. The idea that there's a secret state is such a
The deep state. Is the 50th state. All right, that's our next movie story. And then the riddle leads to the deep state. It leads to the location of the 50th state, the deep state. And guess what that state's full of? It's wizards.
It's wizards. It's they've a wizard cast state. Some magic.
Shit. This is a banger of a franchise. The puzzle, yeah. Puzzle Mom. What's the name of the movie? Puzzle Mom? No, like the Puzzle Master. No, but
Puzzle Master.
Puzzle Master.
And it's like, you remember the old like 90s cover of the Chess Master? And it's like these like glass chess pieces. And it's like this like old man who's like beckoning you in to play chess. Yeah. And meanwhile, when you get the game, it's like the most boring 2D ass
fucking poster, but it's our mom and she's underlit over a Sudoku puzzle. But the Sudoku's got like cryptic like pentagrams and stuff in it. And you're like, what crazy Sudoku is she doing?
She's just a mom that's so good at puzzles that causes troubles in her life. It's like there's like a scene where it's like all of her kids and all of her friends are playing puzzles and she's like, I just can't get this one. And the mom's like, here, let me give it a shot. And they're like, mom, stop it, you've solved so many puzzles, this is embarrassing. And she's like, oh man, I wish my puzzle solving skills really meant something.
Dang, okay. I'm so good at puzzles, my kids don't like me.
Am I so good at puzzles, my kids don't like me. Mom, I gave you the controller and you played puzzles for 4 hours. It was embarrassing.
All right, that's a movie.
All right, Puzzle Master.
Puzzle Master.
And then, yes, we set the sequel with the secret CIA coming and telling her we need to find the secret 50th state.
The 50th state, the deep state. Is the deep state a secret state of wizards, or is it a secret state where the world's greatest puzzle masters live? Like,
oh, that's why it's not found. It's the ultimate puzzle.
Yes, they've hidden themselves from the rest of the world, and she's got to convince that. It's like a fucking, what's that movie you like that sucks, Matt? The fucking Brad Bird Futureland movie.
Tomorrowland was great. Tomorrowland. I like Tomorrowland.
It's like Tomorrowland, but with puzzles. It's like all the world's greatest puzzle masters live in the deep state. And
I mean, that would kind of be what Tomorrowland is. Well, no, because Tomorrowland, anyways, I won't even get into it because that's what you thought Tomorrowland was about. But deep state would be essentially decrepit and sad because a bunch of people who hide up and hide their intelligence are, you know, it's bad.
Whatever. That's going to do it for us this week. Boy, oh boy.
Morning early edition.
Yeah, dude, we got good energy in the morning. I feel like we're tight. We're focused. We're coming in at 58 minutes right now. Yeah. Like, we did it, guys.
We crushed it.
I think we should always do these at 6:30 in the morning.
I mean, hey, I would be down.
I'm going to put a light vote for no, please.
Sleepy Freddy.
Too sleepy.
So we've got a couple of really terrific fan art pieces.
Thanks to
Laura Davis on our Facebook group for doing a lovely picture of Cognac in a stylish suit, like a stylish plaid suit. This is a really good one. You can check.
You have to send me that because I deleted my Facebook, so I didn't get to see this.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
I will send it over to you. So thank you very much to Laura. And we also got, it's a three-peat for James Redensek, who's given us some very good posters based on the Disney Channel original movies we came up with. His Shia LaBeouf one is especially funny.
Yes, amazing.
So thanks very much to James. You can check out his stuff on our Twitter page, twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. Facebook group bit.ly/storybreakfb. We are a part of the Maximum Fun Network, where all of the podcasts are really fun. That's why they called it that. They had all these fun podcasts, and then we're like, what should we call this network? Like, we've taken fun to the max.
Minimum fun? What about minimum fun?
Minimum fun. I bet we're the first ones to that joke.
Oh, you're right.
Not to be minimum fun about our joke.
That's a minimum fun energy coming from my co-host, Will Campos. Why don't you bring the maximum fun energy?
You know what I absolutely hate is when you say something that's true, and then someone goes, you must be fun at parties. Like, no one who says you must be fun at parties is fun at parties. I'm putting that out there. If you say that,
I say, you damn right I'm fucking fun at parties.
You know what? I'm fun at parties because I'm right, because I tell the truth. What are you?
I tell the truth.
If you say you must be fun at parties, just know you're not fun at parties either if you're the person who
says that the reason you're saying that in an assumptive manner is because you've never been invited to the parties that you're assuming the person's not fun at.
I guess that's maybe a little mean. Like, I bet people who've said that stuff have been to
parties. You're doubling back on making fun of people who are saying that fun at parties.
I would give so much money, Will, to watch you battle rap where the first half of your battle rap is just hard bars, and then the second half is you apologizing
just
and
being
like,
walking it back and
me.
Being like, look, just I really respect you. I just want you to know specifically that I'm only doing this because that's the performative fun of battle rap, but like, if you are genuinely hurt by anything I've said, like, I walk it back. I do a second battle rap that night to my wife where it's just me rapping. Did I go too hard on that guy? Am I the jerk? Do I need to apologize?
That's a fun little skit. Oh, man. That's going to do it for us this week. Thanks again to the Maximum Fun Podcast Network for having us on. That's MaximumFun.org. Unless you got $5,000, then .com can be yours. Chad L. says this podcast. Us on Twitter.com/RJStoryBreak and bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. Boy, oh boy, what a day. What a day ahead of us. What a day all around.
What
us.
A day. It's 7:40 in the morning.
Got a whole day ahead of us.
I know.
It's wonderful.
All right. I'm already done. Like, I'm going to call in sick and take a victory lap.
My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold.
That it, Matt? You got
That's it?
You got more?
That's
all
it.
Right.
I was trying to see if I could say nothing if you guys would just let it happen.
Nah,
but
fat chance.
No.
I got
damn.
You.
Damn, you
I solved
me,
your
God.
Puzzle,
you.
Matt.
I solved my puzzle.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bev Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
These are really hard questions.
They are really hard questions.
I don't have any answers for them.
I don't either.
Sack of garbage.
No.
The end of the show will just be 5 minutes of Biz and Teresa crying and screaming until the outro is played.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.